On this Labor Day weekend, I celebrate how I am blessed to be serving not just one, but to get to serve two churches. Now, I think that I am blessed in that way because over the past 2 years, as I have served these two churches, I have witnessed how different people and personalities shape the culture of these two great churches I serve. I have learned how different sets of traditions, practices, bylaws, expectations, in other words, rules, influence how each church hears God's call for us and how we, in turn, live into God's vision for us. And it is good. I have also learned some very important rules as I spend my time beyond the stone walls of both great churches. Here in Copley Square, there in Coolidge Corner, and as I travel multiple times each week between them. I have learned, for instance, that I should absolutely expect without fail to encounter energetic and friendly people right over there in front of the CVS here in Copley. Now, these people, if you've ever walked by, you will know them because they will be clad either in the blue vests of Children International or they will be in the white vests of the Red Cross, and they will be asking all who pass by with a great big broad smile if I have just a minute to spend with them. And I gotta be honest, I have learned more than one way to respond if I don't think I have those few minutes. When I'm at my best, I offer a friendly greeting mixed with really sincere regret that I just don't have the time. But in my weaker moments, I adopt just the right kind of avoidant walk. You know, you take your eyes and you pick out some spot kind of over there, and you just kind of walk by hoping they won't notice. Not exactly rude, but not exactly inviting either. Working at two churches, sometimes a couple of minutes seemed like a lot. And so I have learned out there on Boylston Street rules of engagement. I've also learned in Brookline, especially on the Green Line and especially later at night when I am sitting on the tee working on a prayer or when I have a hymnal or a Bible open, I can expect to hear young people talking in hushed tones about what I'm doing. I can feel on the back of my head their curious glances directed my way, and I have learned that if I look up, those glances, they quickly turn away. You see, they have learned rules of engagement too. In both places, here and there, there are the downtrodden and afflicted. More homeless and panhandlers here, more elderly and disabled there. But I've learned that in both cases, those people, they are largely ignored and walked around, treated as an impediment to our busy lives rather than someone sharing our journey. Sadly, I have learned about the casualties of our rules of engagement. These rules of engagement, they come from the reality that our lives are busy and full and fast-paced. They are strategies for how to get things done efficiently, directly, and hopefully with the least bit of interruption. And you know what? We all know they work. But these rules, they have huge side effects. They change how we encounter one another, and not in the way I think God is calling us. I have noticed, I rarely look up at those young people on the tee anymore. Instead, I just go about my work and leave their conversations and their inquisitive looks to them. I have noticed that the Red Cross and Children's International folks don't seem nearly as eager to approach me as they once were. I don't hear the request for spare change as clearly as I once did. And the elders, I have noticed, more often than not, seem to have their heads down, slowly making their way to wherever they are heading. We, they and I, have seemingly fallen into mutual agreement with one another. That agreement to simply ignore one another. We have developed rules of engagement, or more accurately, rules of disengagement. After many months of work, he was tired. He was tired of healing and curing and casting out demons, tired of traveling across the countryside by foot, tired from all he had done, and tired with how much more still lay before him. And while our story doesn't say so, she was certainly tired too. She was tired of her daily grind, tired of the burden she carried, tired of remembering those 5 marriages that had ended so painfully, tired of hearing people talk about her and walk around her, tired of thinking how many tasks still awaited her on that day after she had drawn her water. She had a to-do list about this long. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Then, like now, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, they lived in a culture with their own rules of engagement. They too had strategies for getting through their long days. Anna Carter Florence, a professor at Columbia Theological Seminary, claims that this passage that Sally and Rand brought to life for us, above all others, is the place in the Bible where we learn the most about Jesus. And I think she's right, and I also think she doesn't go nearly far enough. She is right that this passage reminds us of something that we sometimes forget, that Jesus at his heart was a radical. He was a rule breaker. He targeted any rule that built barriers, whether between people and God, or rules that built barriers between you and I. Remember Jesus. He ate with sinners, even though the rules said they were to be shunned. He healed on the Sabbath, even though the church said no. He talked with those who were off limits, those who were said to be beneath him. In his day, Jesus bordered on the scandalous. Even in a progressive community like this one, a place of the open door, a place where we tell stories about how welcome we feel, I sometimes wonder if we forget just how scandalous and revolutionary Jesus really is. I wonder if we notice our own set of boundaries and rules, even if our welcome is extravagant and our door wide open. In our joy to see the faces of those who have found their way here, I wonder if we sometimes fail to notice those who are not here, those who do not have a blessing of a community like this one, those who do not know the wild, extravagant love of God, those who could not imagine what happens in a big, old stone church like this one. Now, to be fair, even the disciples, those who tagged along with Jesus and had seen his many miracles, those who had seen him defy the rules of the temple, turn water into wine, and even invert the rules of life and death, when they came back from that errand, do you remember? The story says they were shocked, they were perplexed, they were troubled, they were even astonished to see Jesus doing something as simple as talk with a Samaritan woman. They saw him violating the rules of engagement. Friends, what makes this story so important, why it tells us so much about Jesus, is that it reminds us that Jesus never, ever let his days be driven by efficiency. Instead, they were always driven by efficacy, encounter, change, real engagement. Do you remember the story? When Jesus sat by that well, the story says he was exhausted. He had sent his disciples away to get him something to eat. He had finally found a moment of peace and quiet, and yet, seeing a chance for encounter, Jesus took it. I don't know if you caught this. Our passage says Jesus was tired, but never once mentions that he was thirsty. And yet, the first thing he does is ask for a drink. It also tells us that he already knew all about this woman, her past, her present, and her own thirst. And so when Jesus breaks down those barriers of nationality, gender, and standing to ask for that drink, I have no doubt it was less about his thirst and more about hers. That request for water? Just an excuse to start a conversation, break down barriers, and seek engagement. Now notice what else is totally missing from that conversation. Jesus didn't approach her with any expectations. He did not expect her to come to him on his terms. He came to her and blessed her in the middle of her life, not despite it. There is not a single hint of judgment in this story. Nothing about forgiveness being sought or given. Jesus instead simply spent time with her, talking with her, listening to her, acknowledging her burdens and inviting her to move past them and into relationship. There are no strings attached. If you notice something else, both of them came into this encounter tired, exhausted, and spent. But did you notice the way that both of them left? She left it dropping everything with enough energy to run back and tell others. And Jesus, after his sending away his disciples for food, when they get back, did you notice he's no longer hungry? Turns out those rules of engagement that you and I have, rules we create to save time and energy, they actually take a whole lot of energy to maintain. Ripping them down does not drain energy, it replaces it. Anna Carter Florence is right. We learn a whole lot about Jesus in this story. But where she stops short is that in this story, we also learn a whole lot about ourselves, what we are called to do and who we are called to be. Here in this story, we are given new rules for engagement in stark contrast to the ones we know. Now, first, I hope we absolutely see our own lives through the experience of the Samaritan woman. We have to trust to the core of our being that, like her, Jesus knows our own burdens and needs, and he offers us water too if we can just slow down enough to let him. But there is more. In the actions and life of that woman thousands of years ago, our own call is laid clearly before us. We are called to do what she did, and that is live by his example, break down barriers, cross lines, engage with the world and those in it, offer compassion instead of an averted glance, walk toward people, not around them. She herself was a person who had barriers all around her, a person who people talked about and walked around. But she learned, having met Christ, that all those rules of engagement no longer apply. What Jesus offers is too good for us not to offer it to others. She learned the miracle that by following his example, she does not just become some cheap copy of Jesus. Rather, in her own actions, she offers him. She offers Christ to all the world around her. Friends, our doors, they are open wide. But too often, we wait for people to come through them, rather than remembering that that door swings open both ways. In our hustle and bustle of our church life, it is easy to forget that we are called to take Christ with us out through those doors, wherever we find pain or need. To take the kind of beautiful, progressive, affirming, over-the-top kind of welcome that John gave at the beginning of this service out of this place, and to those who are so thirsty for it. Jesus didn't wait for her to speak. He was the one who broke down barriers and talked to her, and so we cannot wait for people to walk through those doors either. We've got to be the ones out there initiating the dialogue, even if it breaks some rules or raises some eyebrows. Like him, we have to engage with no expectations, encounter people just as they are, so that both they and us can be fed and renewed. Friends, we are called to follow Jesus, even and especially if it means being seen in the eyes of the world as radical, crazy, love-filled, barrier-breaking people, even if it makes this venerable old place a bit scandalous. We don't know how this story ends, whether Jesus ever got his drink or whether she ever drew her water, but we do know that her life and the life of all around her changed, because the story says they believed. And we know that believing has far less to do with what happens up here than what happens in the way we live. Their orientation to God and the whole world changed. They became engaged. She left that well as a rule breaker. She left far more concerned about efficacy and encounter than efficiency. She left with new rules of engagement. Now, as for me, here on this day where we celebrate labor and where we look forward to rest tomorrow, I will keep going back and forth between these two great churches and working hard. But I will take time to slow down, to talk with those energetic workers in front of CVS on Boylston Street, to ride the T with my Bible open and my head up, to speak with all those who are seeking something, and to look for those who are struggling. Friends, it is clear I am not Christ. But like her, I can offer Christ in small ways. In the midst of my everyday, tired and thirsty life, I can break rules, I can seek encounter, and I invite each and every one of you to become crazy, scandalous rule breakers too. Amen.